Oh, friends, I've got something free for you, something that is going to change your mind and maybe even your heart. My friends over at Dwell Differently have decided to give you an entire month free using my code Tony. Don't worry, I'll tell you all about it at the end, but let me tell you a little bit about Dwell. Dwell has this incredible mission to help all of us fix God's words in our hearts and our minds. It's a monthly membership style of scripture designs to help you and even your little kiddos memorize one by Bible verse every single month. And the founders, Vera and Natalie, have come out with a brand new book called Dwell Differently, Overcome Negative Thinking with the Simple Practice of Memorizing God's Truth. Y'all, this book is amazing. And God's words aren't just a self-help strategy, fam. I mean, these are truth bombs that help you make it through some real dark seasons. And y'all know I can attest to it. So check everything out at dwelldifferently.com. You'll be real amazed and shocked at how God can use just one Bible verse to change everything in your life. And use the code Tony for your first month free. Love y'all. Hey fam, welcome to the Still Coloring Podcast with Tony Collier. I am your host, Tony Collier, and each series we lean into the stories of women and men that uncover their brokenness and practically show us all how they've rebuilt their lives with hope and grit. Come on, if you're listening to this right now, I want you to close your eyes, take a deep breath, and say this: I can live a life of hope and grit. Let's lean in. Hey, friends. I'm back. Episode 4 of the Still Coloring Podcast, Season 6. We've called it God Winks, Moxie, and Rescue. In this episode, I want to focus on the rescue part. I'm going to tell you a God wink story that has a lifespan in my life. Like, it has been a few years that this particular story has impacted me. And what I love about that is that we don't just serve like a God of one season. He is a God that is flowing consistently. He's the central thread to our lives. He is coming in and out and weaving up and down in all the different ways. And so I want to encourage you in that, because you just need to know that he's amazing and so good, and he has not forgotten about you, and he is combining the totality of our lives to help us become more whole, more holy, and more healed. He isn't just this one-stop shop type whippersnapper. You know what I'm saying? So I hope you're ready for a really fun, kind of funny, I won't lie, story around one of my favorite scriptures, Psalm 91. Here we go. I was 24 years old when I realized that I was a fan and not a follower of God. Yeah, we're just starting off strong right here out the gate. You know what I'm saying? I got saved when I was 21. I started volunteering at a student ministry. About a year into it, I went from student volunteer to student leader to student volunteer leader to then student director, and I got hired on staff at a church. And so it was a real big shift from twerking, smoking, drinking, popping, all these things, to I'm saved and now I'm leading a student ministry. Like, it was a quick turn. Okay, let me just say that. So quick that I realized that I had gone into something and was performative more than I was surrendered to God. I was performing for the gospel and not living by it. Ooh, that's convicting, isn't it? Well, I was standing up on stages, preaching to youth and telling my story, being honest and vulnerable, learning how to be a good leader. But on the weekends, I was out partying and drinking and honestly, sometimes getting drunk and sometimes getting a little high, if we're just going to be honest. I was living this double life because I thought that I could say yes to Jesus and not actually live like it. Ugh. And I think we take for granted and maybe take advantage of the fact that Jesus came and died for us. And the simple thing that we need to do is just believe and trust in him and make him our savior to get to heaven. And then we just kind of forget the rest of the journey, that we are also supposed to look like him, treat people like him, live like Jesus would live as well. And that's how we get access to the Holy Spirit that's in us. That's how we start to discern and create a greater connection with the Lord that gets us through these hard times. Oftentimes people go to church and they get saved and they're just like, I'm good to go, but they have no relationship with God. So when things get really hard and tough, you can't recognize his voice because you ain't heard it. okay? Because you haven't been with him. And so I want us to hold the tension of a God who loves us and wants to be with us and who wants us to know him and our earthly desires. In my personal opinion, I think that our earthly desires are more important than our heavenly connection with God. I don't say that from a place of condemnation. I say it from authority because that was me. I was a fan, not a follower of God. I was like, oh yeah, y'all, I know all the worship songs, but I did not know him. And so I remember when I went through my first divorce, I really wanted a deeper connection with God. I stopped cursing. I stopped smoking. I stopped drinking. I was like, anything that stands in the way of my relationship with God, like I want to get rid of it. And I really started to pursue him. I started to try to meet with him during quiet time. And I didn't even know what to say. I was like, hey, what's up? What you doing in heaven? You know, like I didn't know what to say. And so I remember I started going to North Point Community Church under the leadership of Andy Stanley. And I met this phenomenal couple, Chad and Emily Johnson. Emily Johnson ended up being a life coach for the Tom Patterson Institute, which is just a coaching program that helps you kind of figure out like, what's my life about? What's my purpose? How do I do this life really well? And she ends up sitting down with me for 3 days, I think it was 2 or 3 days, and helping me map out my life. And it was great. During the life planning sessions, she told me about a place called the Spiritual Encounter. And it's by an organization called Feminine Hearts Alive. They are amazing, the Brickens. They are just good-hearted, Reese and Sandy Bricken. They're just good. I hope I'm saying their last name correctly. I think I am. They're just good-hearted people, and I love them very much. And so she said, hey, I think you really need to go to this Spiritual Encounter. If you're trying to hear the voice of God, if you want to know his voice and to really know him, you're going to need to do some work. So I said, okay, girl, like I'm down for the cause. So I ended up signing up for this encounter and I'm like, yes, I leave in a couple weeks. Well, I'm living at the Atlanta Braves Stadium and I'm doing like some tours and stuff, helping with community engagement and events and things like that. And I give this woman a tour. And at the end of the tour, I'm walking her to her car in the garage and she goes, can I say something to you? And I'll never forget it. It was September 28th because it was my dad's birthday and I have the recording. She goes, I want to share a word of prophecy with you. Girl, listen, I turned my recording on my phone on so fast. I was like, yes, please speak. Let me know. Tell me what the Lord is saying because I'm in a season right now where I'm hungry for him. And she begins to tell me things that truly no one should know. I just met this woman. This is day one. She talks about my daughter. She talks about redemption and God using her and all these things. It's really crazy. And then she invites me to her church. She's like, there's a healing and prophetic service. I'm like, I'm in. Count me in. But also like, what that mean? You know, at the time, I didn't know what any of that was. So I ended up going to the church the next week. This is the week before the Spiritual Encounter. And it's great. I mean, it's a little weird. I wouldn't call it weird right now because I understand those things now. But at the time I was like, this is awkward. I said, what's going on? They got people with flags. They dancing around in the church. I don't know what's happening. I sat all the way in the nosebleed seats. You know, the seats, like not the pews, but like the seats that are like at the back of the room, you know, like up against the wall that where the volunteers be sitting at, that's where I sat. Cause I was like, mm-mm, y'all suckers ain't about to get me. And so that's how I thought back then. So the service is going well, praise and worship. This lady gets up and she's like, hey guys, we're going to do something special. We're going to partner up and prophesy to each other. I said, y'all can't just throw us out there in the deep end. Like what y'all talking about? We just going who? What y'all talk? I don't even know how to spell prophecy. Is it with an F? Is it a PH? I mean, what is it? You know? So I'm freaking out. And this man, this older black man, he wasn't like super old, but he was probably in his like late 50s. He comes up to me and he's like, you first, ladies first. No, he said ladies first. And I'm just like, chivalry, don't want it right now. Do not want it right now, man. No, you go first so I can piggyback off of what you said because I don't know what I'm doing. Okay. And so I start going, y'all, and I essentially just lied to this man. I was like, I feel like God is like so proud of you, bro. Like, what am I, right? Like, I'm like, and he loves you a lot, like a lot. And he's just standing there and he's dead serious, which is really unfortunate because he thinks I'm telling the truth. And maybe I was, I don't even know because I didn't know what was happening. And so he's like, thank you so much, sister. And I was like, mm-hmm, okay. I'll never forget his name, Robert, Deacon Robert. And he goes, I'm just feeling from the Lord that you should read the psalm of your birth year. you know, Psalm 91. And I'm like, you're a stalker. How do you know that I was born in 1991? Who are you, psychopath? Okay. And I am like, this is crazy, bro. So I go home, I find my Bible, because at the time I was really wasn't reading my Bible like that, opened it up, literally blew the dust off that mug and read Psalm 91. And y'all, I kid you not, it didn't mean anything to me. I said, I don't know what this stands for. I don't know what this was. It's talking about lions and stuff. And I was like, this is weird, bro. Like, I have no idea what. It just didn't do anything for me. Fast forward a couple of days, I'm packing for the spiritual encounter. I'm like, here I go. It's happening. I go to the spiritual encounter and it's great. It's beautiful. It's in next to Berry College in Georgia at the Chick-fil-A Windshape Retreat. It was just, I've never been in anything like that in my life. I loved it. It was intimate. It was like less than 100 women. And they were just talking about so many things. They used the book Captivating by John Eldridge. And that spoke to me so deeply about my femininity and how God sees me as a woman and how we are so uniquely made in his image that we got parts of him and the male got parts of him. And it was just so beautiful. The whole time I felt so lavished and so good. And then we get to this point of the time and they said that we needed to go spend some time with God. And it was going to be about 2 hours of complete silence. What? Silence. I was freaking out. I don't know if you can tell from the fact that I can do an entire podcast by myself, but I like to talk, okay? I like to talk and I want to frolic and talk with my friends, especially my new friends. Well, I couldn't. I quite literally had to sit and be with God. And they gave us these prompts, questions like, God, what do you think of me? And the prompt for this first session with God was, Lord, what's my biggest lie? What's the thing that the enemy uses to lie to me about you so that I'm not close to you? And I go into this quiet time and I have not this journal, but another journal. It's actually, I'll never forget it. I still have it. It's a black leather journal and it's got like the gold sign of Africa on it. I think it's from Target. I go outside. I find like my little spot, like, my, you know, it's like aesthetically pleasing. I take some pictures, you know, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, what's my lie? And I just sat there. And then I thought about Rihanna and Kim Kardashian. I just want to be honest. You guys, don't cancel me. But these are the things that like came to my mind. Like, I wonder what they're doing. Like, I wonder what's going on in their life. Like, what am I going to eat? Is the chicken going to be dry here at Windshape? You know, like all of these random thoughts. And I just hear the Lord say, like repeatedly, something in my soul just kept saying, you're unsafe. You're unsafe. No one's ever protected you. And if you know anything about my story, you know that when I was a little girl, just 7, I was, you know, sexually fondled with by older cousins. And when I was 8, I was exposed to pornography. When I was 13, I was sexually manipulated by a guy, by a much older guy. He came over to my house when I was 13 and took my virginity in my SpongeBob SquarePants little bedroom while his best friend sat in the living room. And there was just a lot of pain in my story. And I've always had this belief that if God were good, none of those things would have happened to me. He's never protected me. I've never been safe. Where were the adults at? Why didn't they help me? Why didn't anyone come for me? Why did they allow darkness to enter into my story when I was so little? And so when I asked the Lord, like, what is it? It was that. So we go back inside of the session and they have these whiteboards out in the front, right by the altar. And they're like, we want you to take a dry erase board and we want you to write out your lie. And there's like these little blanks that we have to go fill in. And I wrote mine out. I am unsafe. I am unprotected. And honestly, it was freeing to know what I believed about God. That it wasn't just that I was promiscuous and wild and addicted and crazy and an alcoholic. Like, that maybe there was something greater at war with my soul. Maybe it was the enemy of my soul feeding me lies that I believed that turned into the wedge that would keep me from being a follower of Jesus and make me stay a fan. Friends, listen, parenting in the digital age should not be this hard. Well, I've got some good news for you. It doesn't have to be. Over the last 6 months, I have been partnering with my friends over at Bark Technologies, and y'all, it has been amazing. Bark has been able to scan my daughter's text messages, 30 plus social media apps, emails. I mean, they have this advanced AI technology that scans text and gives me a personalized report of everything that my daughter is doing on her devices. Y'all, it's been amazing. But not only that, you can manage screen time, block websites and apps, you can track locations. It's not even about micromanaging our kids. It's about giving them the resources they need to not be exposed to things that they are just too young to be exposed to. And so friends, listen, death to lazy parenting. We have to get good at investing in the safety of our children. So head to the show notes below and check out Bark Technologies as we all become parents who get serious about protecting our kids. Here we go. So we go through another session of being silent with God, which, I mean, honestly, y'all, I remember one point we were walking and I was trying to talk to this girl and I was like, hey, and she was like, shh. And I was like, oh, we're serious about this. But I went back to my little spot, and the second prompt that they gave us on these little cards was, if God could give you an image of yourself, like close your eyes and just ask the Lord to give you an image of how he views you. And I kid you not, it's still in that little journal. I wish I would have brought it to this recording. I close my eyes and I'm like, Lord, show me. I'm praying some real honest prayers. Show me. And I see myself in the middle of a field with this long dress on. I can imagine it right now. And my head's all the way back. And my arms are open. And I'm just spinning. Honestly, that's like the most freest version of myself. That's actually what I want to do every day, is like bop around like a little Teletubby in a field and just be free in God's creation. So I write that down in my journal. And I close my eyes again. And I was like, God, is there anything else you want to show me? And I close my eyes and I see me again in that field. And it's so weird, because then I see like a lion coming after me. Literally like a lion. And it's like running toward me, but it's not getting closer, which is really weird. So I write that down in my journal too. And I was like, okay, got that. I ended the retreat. It was great. It changed my life. I felt God for the first time, because I wanted to see his face. I ran after him. And in this spiritual encounter, they taught us this way of praying, this 7-4-1, 7 minutes, 4 days a week, one day of reflection. And within the 7 minutes, you are to process with God how you feel today and maybe some things that you felt yesterday. And then you're supposed to, you know, ask some honest questions and try to wait and hear from the Lord and ask him, like, what scripture would you have me read today? Things like that. So I ask him, like, what scripture would you have me read today? This is the day after I get home, after the spiritual encounter. And I hear him say, Psalm 91. I get this impression on my heart to read Psalm 91. And I'm like, no, Deacon Robert already got that wrong. Like, what are you talking about? I've already read that one. That's not, what are you even talking about? So I close my eyes again. No lie. I was like, God didn't make a mistake. He didn't send the wrong message to the Holy Spirit to tell me. And so I said, Lord, what scripture would you have me read today? Psalm 91. So open up my Bible. Psalm 91. So I open up my Bible. There's no more dust on it this time. And I start reading Psalm 91. Now there's 13 verses. No, 16. So you just stick with me, okay? This is Bible study now. Verse 1. This is the Message version, if you got your Bibles out. You who sit down in the high God's presence, spend the night in Shaddai's shadow, say this: God, you're my refuge. I trust in you, and I'm safe. Now, you could just only imagine, as I'm sitting on my fake black leather IKEA couch, how hard I'm weeping at reading the word, I'm safe. Y'all, this was the lie. This was the very thing that the enemy had used to place a wedge between me and God. I have not been safe. I have not been protected. If God was good, he would have come for me. He would not have let those bad things happen to me. I'm unsafe. God is leading me, wooing me to his word to assure me that I've always been safe. All right, it keeps going and says, that's right. I love the Message version. That's right. He rescues you from hidden traps, shields you from deadly hazards. His huge outstretched arms protect you. Under them, you're perfectly safe. His arms fend off all harm. Did you catch the protection word? I know. Fear nothing. Not wild wolves in the night, not flying arrows in the day, not disease that prowls through the darkness, not disaster that erupts at high noon. Even though others succumb all around you, they drop like flies left and right. No harm will even graze you. You'll stand untouched. Watch it all from a distance. Watch the wicked turn into corpses. Yes, because God's your refuge, the high God, your very own home. Evil can't get close to you. Harm can't get through the door. He ordered his angels to guard you wherever you go. If you stumble, they'll catch you. Their job is to keep you from falling. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes. Y'all, if God ain't specific, I don't know who is. The lion that I saw in the field. I will never forget this moment. I'll keep going. I'm getting overwhelmed. You'll walk unharmed among lions and snakes and kick young lions and serpents from the path. If you'll hold on to me for dear life, says God, I'll get you out of any trouble. I'll give you the best of care. If you only get to know and trust me, call me and I'll answer. Be at your side in bad times. I'll rescue you, then throw you a party. That's my favorite part. I'll give you a long life, give you a long drink of salvation. The question then becomes here, for those of you thinking it, why didn't Psalm 91 mean anything to me the first time I read it? Because I didn't have eyes to see and ears to hear. I wasn't seeing what God was doing because I didn't want to see it. When I longed for him to show up, he didn't show up because God always shows up. When I longed for God to show up, I saw that he had always been showing up. He had always been protecting me. He had always literally been getting me out of trouble when I was drunk driving and high and almost went to jail at a party, but hid in a closet and the police didn't find me. Like, what? He had always been protecting me. He'd always been rescuing me. I think there were just moments in my life where I didn't want to be rescued. I wanted to be strong. Okay, you ready? Psalm 91 came back into my life in this season. In multiple ways. Remember, I told you in another episode, I have been keeping a kindness of God note in my phone with all of these little God winks. Okay, you guys ready? All right, here we go. And then we'll be done. After finding out something devastating with my ex-husband, some lies that were going to be told if I spoke out, Ann Voskamp sent me this before bed. Psalm 91, the scripture that changed my life. One big old huge God wink. Ann Voskamp said, hey T, as I'm praying here, as I turn the lights out, I'm praying these specific words for you, for Sammy and Dylan, for your brave, beautiful heart. And you can't see it, but the scripture that she sends me is Psalm 91. And I'm weeping. Christy Starling from Victory Church in Oklahoma City says, I can't imagine everything you're going through, sis. I can't. I'm just asking Jesus to be so close to you. He is surrounding you on literally every side. He is your hiding place and your refuge. I was praying for you the other day as I listened to Psalm 91 by Anna Golden. Shout out to Anna Golden. I know your faith is not wavering, she said, but I also know you feel real pain and real heartbreak and real grief. Just want you to know you're covered even if you don't see it or feel it. The starlings are calling out for you. Irene Rollins. Hey, lady, seriously praying for angels to surround you. Psalm 91 over you. sending hugs and love your way. You're not alone. You are loved. You are prayed for. You should have received a package of cookies from me and Jimmy. And I went nuts. Channing, she said, this is the time when the Lord is establishing. This is on Instagram. She sent me a DM. This is the time when the Lord is establishing order. And with order comes the need to bring what ain't working properly to the light. I've been feeling this strongly as well. So I'm definitely praying for and with you. As far as protection for you and your children, he don't play about you. So that ain't even a question. The same God who protected and preserved you and Dylan as you were beginning your journey to where you are today is the same God who will protect you and preserve you where you are and for where you're going. Psalm 91 has your name on it. I'm trying not to cry. Tears are stunning though. Go forth in truth and boldness. God is with and for you. My response, you're kidding me. Psalm 91. I was at a women's shelter that I get to volunteer at here in Atlanta. And the room that I teach in, that I meet with my girls in, got a little facelift. They put some plants in there and some cute little stuff. And it was just so sweet. They had these paintings on the wall, these scriptures. And one of my girls, who I love so very much, she always sits in the front row. She always helps me out with teaching and praying and all the things. At the very end, I had shared some hard things about my story with them, and she comes up to me and she gives me a big old hug, and we're just squeezing each other and crying because both of us are heartbroken for all that we've been through. And I'm literally hugging her and I'm looking over her shoulder and I open my eyes, and in the back of the room, you can't see it, it's Psalm 91. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1. God's still speaking through his word. These words, friend, the words in our Bible, because it's for us, they're still speaking today, okay? God loves us. He is speaking through his word. You want to know the character of God? You want to get to know his voice? Read his word. Because in the depths of our pain and our despair, we need a North Star. We need truth. We need rescue. And we have a God who rescues. He's the best at it. He wants to rescue you. My question to you, my question to myself and my daughter is, will you let him? Will you completely surrender to him and let him rescue you? Because he really, really wants to. But he's a gentleman. And so he will wait on you to seek his face. We love y'all.
Hey, I just want to thank you so much for listening to the Still Coloring Podcast with Tony Collier. I am so absolutely grateful to hold the stories of brokenness that we get to share with you, and the honor that it is to point you to both resources and ultimately to our source, Jesus Christ. If you can't get enough of the show, we'd love for you to leave a rating and or a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And spread the word. If you've got someone in your life who you think would benefit from this show, don't keep it from them. And if Instagram is your thing, I want you to meet me there, at Tony J. Collier. I'm a little wild, so buckle up. We'll see you next time as we all lean into the stories that help us claim hope and grit over our own lives. See you soon.